The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. The Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from that according to St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was far advanced in years, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple by fasting and prayers, serving night and day. Now she at the same hour, coming in, confessed to the Lord, and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Thus are the words of today's Holy Gospel. What have you seen, O shepherds? Speak. Tell us who has appeared on earth. We have seen the newborn child and choirs of angels singing praise to the Lord. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words are the first antiphon, which is sung at Lauds on Christmas and also today and any day during the octave of Christmas in which there's not another feast. And it reminds us of the joy that must have been felt by the shepherds. I mean, it was so much did they experience it that it was visible even in them to all who saw them. All of them would have asked, what have you seen? It was clear something had taken place. How they must have rejoiced for the rest of their life in the memory of that blessed night. Every year remembering and wondering, they found their joy for the rest of their lives. We have seen the newborn child. A Savior is born to us, who is Christ the Lord. There are two, I think, common misunderstandings about joy. The first is that joy is only for this life, that there's no joy in the life to come, so everything ends with death, and so we eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, which is, of course, you know, the pagan attitude. And then the second is that joy is only to be had in the hereafter and not at all in this life, nothing now. Now, I think the first, while perhaps it is the most common in the world, it's not the most common among us. If we are here, it's because we know that there is a life after death. We know that we have an immortal soul that is above, that can abstract from material things. It can know things which are not material, so it is above the material world and will not be destroyed with the material body. And we know by faith that our body will one day be restored to us, and it will be made glorious or in darkness, depending on the choices we made in this life. So clearly, yes, we know that happiness is not only in this life. It will be much more so in the next. What about the second error, though, that joy is only for the next life, that there is no happiness or joy in this? This might be a little bit easier, I think, for us to fall into, but it's still not the case. Definitely is true that perfect happiness is only in the next life, that only complete and full satisfaction will be when we behold the beatific vision, the blessed vision of God. But this does not mean that there is not, or even that God does not want, joy here and now even in this life. We all know very well that our Lord is the man of sorrows. His passion and death we meditate on every year, or, you know, even often in the mysteries of the Rosary. Holy Week will bring this out very well and very clearly, the lamentations of Jeremiah the prophet, the man of sorrows. And it is true that we cannot sound the depths of his sorrow. But it is also true, and this is the great message of this time of year, that we cannot sound the depths of his joy. Christ was, throughout his life, truly and perfectly happy and joyful. He had the beatific vision from the moment of his conception. And for a man, and Christ was a true man, this is the greatest happiness that is possible. This is the happiness that we hope for in the next life, this vision of God. Our joy and our happiness will come from seeing God. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed, happy are they who are clean of heart, who have a pure intention, who seek God in this world, for they shall see God. Before God came, before the message of the angels to the shepherds that night, what was the hope of happiness? Father Lean speaks of the old law as not having the ability to satisfy man. And he gives as an example of that the young man who one day came to our Lord in the gospel and asked him, "What must I do to obtain eternal life?" Our Lord's reply, "Just keep the commandments." "I have kept them from my youth," he protested. He had done all that the old law had prescribed, and yet he had found it wanting. There was something missing. What man needs to be happy is to know the purpose behind his actions, to know that he is working towards something, and to have that assurity of obtaining that goal. Our Lord's answer to the young man was, "If you will be perfect, sell what you have and give it all to the poor and come follow me." Happiness is found in God only. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. So what must we do? Father Lean, again, he says that the answer is nothing and everything. Kind of a paradox, but he explains nothing meaning not one thing. There's not one thing that we do or that we have to do, and then we're done. We're good to go. You know, that's the Protestant idea. Just believe, and that's it. No, God wants more. He cannot be purchased for a price. He is truly, in the real sense of the word, priceless. And so there's nothing that we can do just to purchase him. And so we have to do everything. If we give him everything, then we will have life. He doesn't always ask us to physically and literally give up everything, but we have to be ready to give it, to want God above all else and not the things of God. As Father Lean puts it, not God plus, just God. Not God and other things, just God. Our Lord comes to us at Christmas in poverty and solitude because he wants us to come to him and not to his things. Our Lord does not want the kind of friends who come when you win the lottery. He wants us to want him only for his sake. The man who asked our Lord about salvation went away sad, for he had many possessions. The shepherds, on the other hand, went away rejoicing and telling all the wonders they had seen. Our life can be filled with happiness when we seek the right things. That is what Christ wants us to know. So if we find ourselves unhappy, we should examine ourselves and see, have we left God, or where have we left God, or in what have we not sought him? What are we looking for in addition to him? What was there that we preferred? If we seek God in everything, then we will be happy. Our Lord brings us the tidings of great joy. Our redemption is at hand. Everything in our life has a purpose and has a meaning, and he is it. God comes to us and wants us to come to him. He comes without things because he wants us to seek him and nothing else. Father Lean again contrasts that cave on the night of our Lord's birth and the city which was near at hand. The city had no room for Christ and his mother. They were filled with happy reunions, family members long absent, returning for the census, laughter, excitement, eating and drinking. And then there is the stable, the little cave, cold, drafty, dripping. That is what the shepherds found. And yet, who went away the happier? The answer is found in that first antiphon of Lauds. The happiness was apparent. They have seen the newborn child, the Redeemer, the Savior, the one who gives life its purpose. God does not hate the things of this world, and he does not ask to give them all up entirely, but he wants them all to be in order, to be put in order, and to remember that our complete happiness is not found in them. Father Lean says that we must find God in everything, the good and the bad. Find God in temptations, which are meant to purify us and not be a cause of sin. In interior pains, in family afflictions, in difficulties in our work, in misunderstandings with others, in sickness, in discomforts, in pains of every kind, and above all, he says, in the ever-recurring calls of duty and of obedience. If we are able to find God in these things, then they will bring us happiness, already in this life, but far more so in the life to come. Just as the shepherds found him in the midst of that dreary cave, we can find him among the dreariness of this life and find there joy. Even our Lord's own mother, we see in the gospel today, she is being reminded, for Simeon wasn't telling her anything she didn't already know, that the suffering would come, and it would be for the rise or for the fall. We will have to undergo these things, but if we find God in them, they will be for our rise, for our resurrection, and not for the fall. St. Bernard, in speaking on the martyrology for Christmas, he takes note of the tense of the verb used for our Lord's birth. Normally in the martyrology, everything is in the past tense. On such and such a day, Our Lady was born. On such and such a day, St. John the Baptist was born. On such and such a day, Peter was martyred. But when it comes to Christmas, the verb is in the present tense, nascitur. Christ is born in the present, now. Eternity on that day entered into time. True God and true man, our Lord is born, not just for one moment, but for all time. He is the Redeemer for the shepherds. He is also for us. And this is especially true in the Mass. Our Lord is born to us anew each day on our altars. He comes to us, and he who finds him finds life. Follow Mary's example. Keep all of these things in your heart throughout this coming year, and no matter what happens, try to find God in it. Remember that his coming has given all of these things a meaning and a purpose, that all things work together for the good of those who truly love God, who love him for himself. This will be my wish and my prayer for you throughout this coming year, that you may find joy and your joy may remain. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.